It's good to be with you this morning. As everyone is aware, I'm sure Brother Jeremy's out of town, so I'm going to fill in for him this morning. What I want to talk about this morning is something that looked at last week at Mount Nebo. It's something that I think we're all aware of. It's nothing new. Nothing I say this morning is something we haven't studied before in the past, but I think it's always good to be reminded of things at times. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, and that is the danger of the casualness that can easily creep into worship. We'll look at the seriousness of worshiping God. And I want to begin this morning by looking at an article that I came across just here within the last couple days. So I'm studying the lesson over again. Something's written in the Guardian of Truth magazine in April 1994. It's by a brother I'd never heard of him, Rick Shamus. But he wrote an article about casual service. And in that, he defined the word casual as it's defined by the American Heritage Dictionary. And he gave four meanings of that word, apparently, from this dictionary that he looked at. And each of those four he expanded on. And I want to look at that, just read that quickly if I can here in the beginning. Just what he had written. The word casual. Number one, it is occurring by chance, accidental. He went on to write about that. He said, there is no way anyone can serve the Lord by accident. Our service must be from the heart and based upon truth. And it must come from a heart that is submissive to the will of God. Yet many continue to try to serve the Lord in that which is convenient to themselves. They expect God to adjust to their schedules and to their likes and dislikes. They offer what is left over of their time, abilities, and money. They do what they think is right in the manner that they think is best. In so doing, they place themselves not in the role of servant, but of master. Number two, he said, this meaning of the word casual. Number two, he says, occurring at irregular intervals, not planned, occasional. And he says, as to that definition, the obvious thought that comes to mind is that many are casual in their attendance of the assembly, meaning that they don't show up. They tend to let anything or nothing at all keep them from assembling with the saints. But what about our study of the Bible, prayer, teaching the lost and such things? He says, do these things occur at irregular intervals, go unplanned, and therefore are done only occasionally? This also is casual service. Number three, he says, showing little interest, nonchalant. And he says about that, many are casual in attendance, even though they seldom miss. This is one I hadn't thought of before. He says, it never ceases to amaze me how many of the Lord's children hold to the secular idea of, and I've used this myself, he puts in quotes, going to church, as opposed to assembling with the saints. He says, to accomplish God's purpose in that. And he says, the simple act of, and again in quotes, attending, is in itself casual. I hadn't thought of that. Going to church, attending. I'm here. He says, so many seem to think that they are serving God simply by their physical presence. They don't seem to think that the fact that their mind is miles away has anything to do with it. I have seen people talking, laughing, passing notes, reading magazines, sleeping, wandering around the building during the classes. I have seen people stand silently while the assembled saints praise God or teach and admonish one another through song. They simply are not interested. This is casual service. And number four, he says, suited for everyday wear or use, informal. And to that definition, he says, certainly this brings to mind the clothes that we wear. We should not be casual in our choice of what we wear simply because our clothing reflects our attitude. Our dress simply ought to be such that it reflects our respect for God. First, it ought to be decent and orderly, modest and not pretentious. Secondly, it should be appropriate to the occasion. It is obvious that one will dress differently depending on what he is doing. He will dress one way to play basketball, another to pour concrete, and yet another to worship God. Yet in all these things, he can dress decently and orderly, modestly, in an unpretentious manner. Still, he would not properly wear his good clothes to pour concrete in. Not his coveralls to play basketball in. And neither would he wear his basketball clothes to worship. That article relates to what I want to talk about this morning, and that is the seriousness of worshiping God. And again, like I said, it's something that we all know this. And it's something as well that in preparing and studying, presenting the lesson, it's as much toward me as I prepared and studied this lesson. You know, there are certain points there that I thought to myself, you know what? I need to think about that. And I hope, honestly, we all will this morning as we study through this. Worship, that word, what is it? What does that word worship mean? You know, I'm sure we could all, every one of us could define that word. We might be slightly different in our definition, but we all know what that means. Thayer's lexicon states that the word is derived from a Greek word, meaning to kiss the hand toward one in a token of reverence. It implies this attitude of what Brian talked about this morning, proper and due respect toward God. But it also includes this idea of showing respectful actions toward the one being worshipped. From the beginning, God has set requirements about how he is to be worshipped. It wasn't just a haphazard, you know, you guys do whatever you want, just, you know, show me some worship and we'll be okay with it. No, God has always set limits and requirements on how that's done. In Jesus' discourse with the Samaritan woman in John 4, she tells him there in verse 20, she said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And he replies to her, beginning there in verse 21. I want to read a few verses of John 4, verse 21 beginning. He said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. And in one of Paul's letters, in reference to worship in the assembly, he addressed the problems at the church in Corinth. Their worship, it seems that it was straying away from what pleased God. And in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, he wrote to them, "All things should be done decently and in order." So this worship that we think about, worshiping God, it has to be done in spirit and in truth, and decently and in order. In addition, worshiping God has always required sacrifice on our part. Abel offered an animal sacrifice according to the will of God, Hebrews 11, verse 4. Abraham was ordered to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God, though God stayed his hand when he saw that Abraham feared him. The Jews, by divine order, offered throughout the Old Testament various sacrifices to God. And us as Christians today, 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 talks about us offering up spiritual sacrifices. Romans 12 talks about how we're to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. Bible teaches that one of the purposes of man is the glorification of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body." We could say even the writer in Ecclesiastes talks about how that's the entire duty of man, is to fear God and keep His commandments. When the church assembles together, and that's primarily what I want to look at this morning, is, you know, as individuals in our homes, in the car, you know, anywhere, we can and should worship God anywhere that we are. But particularly for the sake of the lesson this morning, I'm talking about here in the assembly. When the church assembles together, the things we do constitute our worship toward God. Our study of God's Word. You know, when Paul met with the disciples at Troas in Acts 20, verse 7, the Bible says there that Paul discoursed with them. He discoursed with them. Scriptures refer to the apostles' doctrine. This surely would Paul's example there in Acts 20, and when we think about the apostles' doctrine, this would surely include any and all of what we might think of as communal Bible studies that we have, the men who occasionally get up here and present lessons, all of that. Study of God's Word. Another act of worship we participate in is our fellowship. Our fellowship is in our collective contribution, an act that we participated in just a few moments ago. That word suggests a partnership, fellowship. It's not the way the world uses it so commonly today, that just, you know, it's just getting together, having a good time, having a meal, and we're hanging out and we're fellowshipping. And that's not the fellowship that the Bible speaks of. Scriptures, the original word translated fellowship in Acts 2:42 is translated contribution in Romans 15:26. Fellowship. Breaking bread, the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. Prayers. The early church was a praying church. We see that time and again in the New Testament. Singing, or the early church was a singing church. Given clear instructions on that to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5, verse 19, Paul said that they were to speak one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. All of these things, all of these are acts of worship that we participate in our assemblies. We already know all of these things. But what else might be involved in our worship to God? What, especially in the assemblies, what else might we think of that would help us, that would improve our collective worship within the assembly? Well, just for a few moments, that's what I want to look at this morning. Some things relating to that. A few points. First off, I would say that when it comes to worshiping God in a congregational setting, start early. Don't wait until you walk through those doors there to think about what we're going to do for the next hour or two. Think about our service to God. For example, this Lord's Day morning. Think about that before you leave the house. Think about it the night before. Secondly, I would say, prepare. Prepare your heart before you come into this building. Be ready for whatever our study topic is. Be ready for whatever part in the public service work of the church or the classrooms, whatever part you might be involved in, be prepared for that. Be here early enough to speak with visitors or to help with the work of the congregation, or just to simply just to ready your heart and your mind for the worship that we are about to engage in. And third, pay attention. You know, we all at times, I'm guilty, during the Bible study, the singing, this lesson, our minds will wander. Focus on keeping outside things outside. Pay attention to our purpose for being here. Worshiping God, especially, as I said, especially when we think about this worship as it pertains to the assembly. It is, or at least it very well should be, a very serious and solemn occasion. My fear is that just, and again, speaking to myself as well to you all, and not just here, but just in any places I've visited and things, and over the years you see how different churches operate. And my fear is that worship is, if we're not careful, it seems that it's becoming more and more what I would call casual. We have to guard against this mindset of being so casual and so comfortable that we forget how serious this really is. Are we giving God our very best? When it relates to that, are we giving Him our very best? You know, being on time, being punctual for services. You know, and think of that separately from attendance. I'll mention that here just in a minute. But just being on time. Or, no, instead, you know, being late, I'm fine, I'm good, I got here, didn't I? You know, skipping the Bible study just because, well, I don't want to have to be here for that extra hour. I come for the worship service. And, you know, in comparison to that, I can't help think about any of us with children. What about getting to school functions on time? What about getting our kids to sporting events? You know, you've got to be there early to get some practice in before the game, and we have to get there at a certain time. What about getting to those things on time? What about getting to our jobs? Even above my job, I've got this meeting, you know, late this evening or Saturday. We have to meet to do this, to look at some aspect of my work. What about things related to my work and my career and being there on time? How are we with those things versus our time that we set aside to worship God? Do our children see, do our brothers and sisters see in our example how serious we are about worshiping God? I hope that they do. About our dedication to, not just as the writer talked about in the article that I read and that I hadn't given as much thought to, not simply about our being in attendance here, being a warm body on a pew, but in our dedication to God. Our appearance, do we pay much attention at all to that when it comes to how we worship God? As to what we wear when we go out for an evening with friends or to our jobs? I read something here just a few nights ago. Denominational preacher that I've seen him in various things on one of these TV channels and some things on the internet. He's a young man, and be honest, I've listened to him a few times, and he makes some really good points about some things. But in this article, had another older member of this certain denomination was talking to this young man about the way he dressed at the congregation where he preached, and it's kind of casual. Everything was laid back, and the older gentleman was saying, "You know, you might want to, you know, not ditch the coat and the tie and look, you know, your very best." And this young man, his response to that was, the guy asked him, said, "You know, when you talk to God, is that how you want to be dressed?" And the young man's response was something to the effect of like, when I'm talking to my dad, this is fine. And like that was acceptable. And, you know, my first thought with that was, well, yeah, if I'm talking to my dad, that's fine. But you know what? If I'm going to my son's or my daughter's wedding, or I'm going for a job interview, that's not even my dad, but I'm going to dress appropriately. Do we think about that much? Our attendance. Again, like I said, it's not just being a body sitting on a pew, but is God first in our lives? You know, if He is, I'm sure we will be here if at all possible. Again, you know, think pre or post COVID, we get back to the regular schedule and we're here, 4 hours a week? But we can't make it to all those. I did the math. You know what 4 hours a week is in our weekly routine? That is 2%. 2% of our week is sitting in here. The other 98% is ours. 2% right here. 2 pennies on the dollar. Is God our priority? Well, He is, but yeah, I can only give Him 1%. I mean, that's just the best I can do. Surely no one would even say that out loud. I realize there's legitimate reasons. We can't be here sometimes. But sometimes I have to wonder, like the gentleman that wrote the article that I read, if we just really are straining to find some reason that we don't have to be here. Just the slightest thing. What about our demeanor in the assembly when we come together? Is it serious? Or is it kind of casual, off the cuff? Well, yeah, we come together, and we study the Bible. We have some fun and things, and it's all good. Or is it serious and reverent at all times? There's a danger in straying in worship away from what pleases God. And it's not something that... The danger is that it doesn't happen like that. But that it just creeps into that. The danger of becoming like those of old in Malachi 1 and verses 12 and 13 when it came to worshiping God. Their response was, oh, what a weariness. Worshiping God had become a chore. It was something that they had to do, but they didn't want to do. My thoughts this morning, as I said, we already know these things. But as far as for me, it is good to be reminded and to think about those things. As I said, studying through this lesson, there's a few points here that I looked at and clearly just thought, that's bad. I need to think about that. How serious and how particular God is when it comes to worshiping Him. Psalm 89 verse 7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. It is a serious matter. We ought to think about it in that way. Not just this morning because I said it, maybe reminded you of something you'd heard several months back, but we ought to think about it that way every time we walk through those doors. Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29 say, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. There is nothing about worshiping God that is not serious. I've said this more than once. I'm sure you all may get tired of hearing me say it, but it's the truth. And that is that just because we offer our worship to God There is by no means does he have to accept it. How we carry out our worship to God, especially in this assembly, in this building, it's extremely important. And again, it's not, this lesson isn't something that I just came up with a few weeks back and I thought, boy, I tell you what, I really need to do that one here. It's not that, but it's something that, as I said, I did it at Mount Nebo. I'm not going to Leicester right now, the time being, but I would just as well do it there. It's something that any assembly of the Lord's people, we need to think about sometimes. How we carry out our worship to God. There's nothing casual about it. There's nothing to, it's lighthearted, that's laughable, that's, there is nothing about it like that. It is dead serious. Need to be very careful about how that's done. Well, I wouldn't want to leave. I hope the things this morning have been helpful. But we wouldn't want to leave here this morning without giving the opportunity for those who have never obeyed the gospel. You know, as the scripture says, that I just read there, our God is a consuming fire. He demands our reverence. And if we can't do that now, I am 100% positive. Without a doubt, there will be a time when we will wish that we had. If you've never obeyed the gospel, or as a Christian, have some need of some public repentance for some public sin that you've committed, we just plead with you right now. Won't you answer the call of the gospel? Won't you come as we stand and sing?